FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is November 22nd, 2017. Well, everything in life changes. Things come, things go. People come into your life and leave your life, and shows come into being and shows leave. Well, we're not leaving, but our number one guest, somebody who I have really had a connection with almost since I started the show, which is 6.5 years ago, if you can believe that. Someone who has been a prolific writer, who, since I know him, has written thousands of articles, many of which have really had profound impacts on you. Talking about Andy Hoffman is taking a break from the show for a while, pursuing the cryptocurrency space with all of his energy and dedication that he did for precious metals. And Andy, you're with us now. Oh, hey, questions, comments, good, bad, ugly, whatever, kl@kerrylutz.com. Twitter feed's at Kerry Lutz. Andy, hey, this is it for a while, so welcome as always.
Yes, and I just want to clarify, it is it for a while, not for permanently. I think that this is one of the best networks out there, and I've been thrilled to be a part of it for 6 years, and to be such close friends with you as a result. I think it's been productive in my personal life and my professional life, and all the listenership on this radio station has been very gratifying. But that said, I'm moving. Obviously, I'm going in a different direction now. I'm not focused on precious metals. I'm not focused on the economy. I'm focused solely on cryptocurrency and principally Bitcoin, which is, you know, when you talk about cryptocurrency, that's what you're talking about. Everything else is just periphery. So I think today, you know, the decision that I made just for now to go in this direction was basically, I just felt that the listenership wasn't responding to me the way they used to. And I wanted to use this show to just go over my thought process. I think I've made it very clear in my writings and what I've said, but I'd like to make it very clear where I started in the precious metals and sound money arena and where I've gotten to today.
Hey, and I think that's a good thing to put it all in perspective, Andy, because I think many of you out there don't really understand where Andy's coming from now. And hence, we get all these crazy comments, which we appreciate comments, but as always, I ask you to be respectful. You could disagree with people without being disagreeable. One thing, Andy, you know, is I hate moderating comments. It's like I like to look at them, but I really don't want to tell people you can't say this, you can't say that. But, you know, on the other hand, it's like be respectful. That's all we ask. And that's all we can ask.
Yeah, look, it was the trend, though, that I was feeling, not necessarily specific comments. But look, when it comes down to it, what people don't understand is that, you know, the world changes and you have to make changes with the world. And I mean, this isn't the first time I've had major changes in my worldview. I mean, when I first went into precious metals in 2002, it was a major, almost overnight change when I just looked at it and realized, you know, at the time it was different thought. I was just thinking, wow, the dollar index is overvalued. It was like 120 or something. And it just seemed like it had to go down, and it changed how I invested in everything. And at the same time, I was still very bearish because of what all that happened with the dot-com collapse. And then there was, you know, other times. I mean, in spring of 2011, after having invested in miners for 9 years and worked in the mining industry for 5 years, in fact, I was still in the mining industry at the time, I just abruptly said, I'm done with mining stocks. And from going from 100% of my net worth to having none, in the blink of an eye, in a matter of 2 or 3 months, I just realized after years of watching all the things that happened firsthand, I decided I was against it. And I was working at one of the top investor relations firms for mining stocks at the time. And that's why about 3 months later, I left and went to Miles Franklin. And, you know, when it comes to the next big thing, look, that was 6 years ago now. And in those 6 years of time where I was all in on physical precious metals, And working at Miles Franklin at the same time, I watched nothing happen. I watched the same kind of miseries that happened in the mining stocks from 2007 through 2011 happen in the physical market. Now, they didn't fall as much, but the fact is the cartel completely took over at that point, starting in 2011, after it got to about almost $2,000 an ounce in gold and $50 in silver. And while we watched all of the other asset classes go up around the world, stocks, bonds, real estate, you name it, some of them because of the inflation that would have made gold and silver go up, and some of them because of the direct monetization by central banks, you know, I'm sitting here watching everything go up except precious metals. And so just like, you know, my thoughts were starting to change about mining stocks, and eventually I made a decision, my thoughts on precious metals were changing. But it wasn't until Bitcoin came around that I saw an alternative, because there was no way I was going to go into the most overvalued financial markets ever at a time when the fundamentals were worse than they've ever been. I mean, they're just as bad now as they were then. They're probably worse because the debt is higher. So I didn't know where else to go. So I sat in precious metals and figured they have to at some point overcome adversity of the central banks holding them down. But when Bitcoin came along, I was very, very vocal about it. Even at Miles Franklin, remember, I'm the marketing director at Miles Franklin, a precious metal dealer. And while I still like precious metals, I had to very carefully walk the line of every single thing that I said, partly, you know, because I felt it was the right thing to do, and partly because it was directed from the top. But if anyone who's reading me, so for people who are like, oh, Andy's a traitor, he's a snake oil salesman, he sells whatever, are you kidding me? I was talking about Bitcoin. You look at my first post at Miles Franklin, April of 2016, where I pretty much said, look, it's $400 and it's about to break out that other alternative currency, which is going to possibly change the world. And then in May of 2016, I wrote my signature piece, the one that has defined me in the precious metal sector, about this, called Precious Metals and Bitcoin, Twin Destroyers of the Fiat Regime. That's May 2016. The price was $450 of Bitcoin. And from that day on, I wrote about Bitcoin as often as I could, about how bullish I was about it. I also said that precious metals, and anyone who's reading and listening to me realized that that Bitcoin was dominating my belief of what was going to happen. I thought I had to kind of write it in a way that was tiptoeing. But for the most part, I was saying Bitcoin is what my next big one was, why Bitcoin will make gold and silver go up. That was in December of 2016. It wasn't called why gold and silver will make Bitcoin go up. It was the opposite, because I said in many different times during this period that Bitcoin is going to be what breaks the powers that be. And as a result, it will help gold and silver go up. That's what I said all along. And I recommended Bitcoin from $400 up until today. So I don't think that I've hurt anybody by saying that I am less interested in precious metals, which have not gone down. They just haven't gone anywhere, and that you should buy Bitcoin. And on top of that, when I had my next big epiphany, it was this summer. And the reason I had that epiphany, which coincided right around the time I left Miles Franklin, was that when Bitcoin started to win some of its major political battles, and I'm guessing most of the people listening don't know what I'm talking about when I say the major political battles. I'm talking about the SegWit battle, the hard fork battles. And they were some major battles to the point where even the smartest people in the sector really couldn't predict what would happen until they happened, such as the Bcash fork that happened on August 1st. And of course, the whole SegWit thing. I mean, if you asked me, or anyone in even June or July, would SegWit get activated last year or this year, they would say no way. And guess what? It did happen in August, just a month or two later. So once I started to see these things moving in that direction, and I no longer had fears about the immutability of the Bitcoin blockchain, or that it was going to be split in half, let alone when it started to win political battles like against Jamie Dimon and the Chinese government, that's when I had an epiphany that Bitcoin is here to stay. And more importantly, I'm losing my mind, I'm losing track of my thought, that Bitcoin is here to stay, and that nothing is going to stop it. More importantly, the younger generations want no part of gold and silver. I mean, the older generations may have most of the wealth right now, but but it's the younger generations that are going to be ruling the world. And they have no interest at all in material, tangible assets when something like cryptocurrency is around. And so my thought process was, I just can't see that young people are going to want to store thousands of pounds of silver. It's ridiculous. I mean, even storing gold, it does involve having a tangible asset, but I still like gold because one, it's far more valuable historically, and you can store a lot of value in small packages. And that's why the first article that I wrote when I got to Crypto Gold Central, I started September 10th, was called Big Value in Small Packages, the Future of Wealth Storage. And that's why I said it'll be Bitcoin and gold, but not silver. That was my thought process. And I made it very clear. And yeah, I sold all my silver in July and August at prices not much different than they are today. So for anyone who said, I sold and got out and went, no, I mean, it's the same price today. You can sell it now. The problem is Bitcoin's a lot higher. So my point is that was my thought process. And with each passing day that Bitcoin strengthens its immutability and gets through these political battles and gains acceptance, and now that we're way over 100 billion market cap, the institutions are coming in, I believe that is not only the superior asset to gold and silver, it's probably the most perfect investment vehicle I've ever come across. So I believe it's not just changing the world from an investment standpoint. I believe it will be changing the world in all standpoints. It is, aside from the internet itself, the greatest financial invention of our lifetime, and by far the greatest monetary invention in history.
Well, I agree with some of what you're saying. I still think there's a little bit more proving to go. I'm not sure what that point is, but I don't think it's made thousands of years of economic history irrelevant yet. Will it do that? I'm not sure, but the possibility exists, which I'm open to. But at this point, it's just too small a portion of the world's inhabitants are into this.
Right. But Kerry, did I say that it has already? I didn't say that. I said that's what it's going to be. That it is clear to me. Look, forgetting if it becomes ubiquitous, forgetting if it even becomes a currency, because I don't really care. I view it as digital gold. And eventually it may be a currency for the world. But frankly, I expect it's going to be a lot of cryptocurrencies. Like, right now we have like 200 fiat currencies. We may have 200 cryptocurrencies that are used for trade. I mean, trade currencies are a commodity. I mean, they're all fiat, right? Like, I mean, yeah. Ethereum, for instance, is fiat currency because there's an unlimited cap and it's centralized. Right. And almost every cryptocurrency is centralized, including all the forks of, Bcash and Bgold. And then we're going to have Bdiamond this weekend. I kid you not. And there's going to be a super Bitcoin in December. These are all centralized. They're run by a guy or a team,
Right.
So it's no different than the fiat currencies around the world. And it's very likely that they will share trade with currencies, fiat currencies for years to come or decades to come. But maybe not. Maybe cryptocurrency will, like in Star Trek, completely take over the world. I don't know that yet, any of these things. But I do know that in the storage of value world, people are deluding themselves if they are going to ignore the fact that Bitcoin exists. It is immutable. I mean, you said a lot has to be proven, yes, about what the future world of money will look like. But I am telling you, people, it's a done deal. It's not even close anymore. I mean, that's why I'm almost sitting, I say Bitcoin and gold. It's now way more Bitcoin than gold because I think it is already taking market share from gold.
Oh, yeah,
it's not going to take all of it. Really not going to take all of it. And it's going to take many decades for that market share to completely swing over. But remember, when these older people that have all the money and have all the gold start to pass on their assets, it's going to be to people who just don't view the world in the same way. And so from a storage of value perspective, yeah, it's $8,000 right now. But I think that's, it's still just $120, $140 billion market cap. This is, as I wrote, and I've been writing, this is a new mega asset class, as Max Keiser put it, the first mega asset class in centuries. And it is going to change at least the value storage, wealth storage asset class, category forever.
Hey, well, when you look at Bitcoin, so until the last century, or perhaps the middle of the 1800s, there was no such thing as IP, intellectual property. And now intellectual property is a huge asset class, trillions of dollars, Andy. Nobody can calculate it. So this is kind of an extension of intangible assets, right? It's not a tangible. A Bitcoin is ephemeral. It exists in wherever it exists, on computers only. And so it's, in a way, a logical extension of what has evolved. I mean, what is a trademark of a company? That's not a tangible asset. It's tangible in that, hey, you can see the Coca-Cola symbol, you could see the Apple symbol, but the trademark, as a result of what they've done, has become worth more than the underlying company, or greatly increased the value of the underlying company because they have this trademark, this brand. So brands have become more important than the underlying companies involved. Not that they're divorced, but the brand evolves.
Yeah.
And that's
Bitcoin is not Bitcoin is not an intangible asset. It's intangible in that you can't touch it. But there's different meanings of intangible.
It's not, it doesn't
Bitcoin
have
is on Bitcoin is a real asset that is, I mean, I don't know how to even put, you can't say it's a physical asset.
It's intangible in that you can't hold it in your hand. So that's the way society has been evolving since the mid-1800s, where brands, intangible assets of a company, have become worth far more, far greater than their tangible asset. So all I meant, Andy, is intangible only in the fact that it has no physical presence in reality. It's a construct, and these constructs have become worth more than their physical counterparts in reality. So Bitcoin, in a way, is a logical progression from that.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's the digital age, and that's the whole point. So when people, you know, I mean, we're talking about tangible versus intangible, but it's really, it's just technology, which is the big, you know, the big pink elephant for people in the precious metals arena who just want to believe, you know, like when I hear stuff like, well, gold's been money for 5,000 years, that's not going, so why would that change? Why? Because everything changes. There's no law that says gold has to be the premier money forever. I mean, what if we're around another billion years? Is it a guarantee that gold will be the premier asset because it was for 5,000 years? It is no longer the premier asset. I mean, it just isn't. It's not like, well, it's having this temporary dip, and as soon as Bitcoin crashes, it'll be back. No, it's we're in the digital age, and it's not even that you can guarantee that Bitcoin itself will be the winner. But what I can guarantee is we are moving forward as a world, and that moving forward is as you say, toward intangible assets. There is not going to, first of all, as far as, you know, gold is a store of value, it just doesn't work because the governments just abuse it. They steal it, they confiscate it. They, you know, if they try to, every time they've tried to have a gold standard, they abuse that even worse. I mean, it's just, it's impractical. Gold is, you know, I wrote back in 2014, I'm at Miles Franklin, right? I wrote, is gold money? Who cares? And my point was back then that there's never going to be a gold standard because it doesn't work in that way. Gold has always worked well for one thing, and that is storing value outside of the system with nothing to do with governments. Mm-hmm. It's desired because it is a storage of value. It's not desired because it's jewelry. That's not what makes it valuable. It just has been one of the few, you know, substances, natural substances that make sense for that. And it will still have that role because, look, we are still, for all the, you know, the bubbles being blown by the central banks at an historic rate. I mean, it's really incredible. They talk about the Fed says, oh, we're tightening. The Fed funds rate is 1%. And the balance sheet is still $4.5 trillion. I mean, and they're considered the tightest of all of them. The money printing will keep going because, as I've said forever, it's what a choice. Fiat currency is a Ponzi scheme. I mean, it has to keep getting bigger. And now that gold is production, it's peaked. I mean, when you say peak oil, whatever, no, gold. We had peak gold. It peaked 2 years ago. It will fall 20% in the next decade. Guaranteed, there's nothing that will change that. And the money printing will keep going. So, you know, the price will go up. In fact, I wrote an article the other day, Crypto Gold Central. I said gold is now an inflation-adjusted savings account with no downside. And a call on crisis. That's how I view gold. And I mean, I've never in all my time at Miles Franklin ever said stuff like there's no downside. But I've been saying this for the past month now. No downside at all. None. The cost of mining is so much higher if you talk about the all-in cost that you would need to actually replace production, I mean, it was $1,500 years ago. It's probably close to $2,000 now if you wanted to reverse that decline in gold production. Right. So I look at gold in the high 1200s and I sit there and I go, no downside, none. I mean, we're talking about mere percentage points. But it's not going to, but the cartel, the powers that be still think it's this big threat. It's funny because I wake up now every day and I'm going, do you guys honestly still think gold is the big threat? You know, the whole world's talking about Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the one that's soaring. Bitcoin is the one that's decentralized, and the Chinese government can't even stop it by banning trading. And you're still worried about gold, which no one buys anymore in the Western Hemisphere where all the money is and no one cares about. But yes, they still are. Part of it is because it's a lucrative scam in the COMEX. You still get these idiots who buy the futures and get, right. You know, and they could take money from them. But most of it is just it's inertia. They hold the price down. Yeah. It's easy, especially now that people don't care about it so much anymore. But in time, you know, I've said for some time now, at least for the last 3 or 4 months, that my new end game for the cartel is that not that they're look, they will be overwhelmed if we have a crisis. Like I said, it's a call on crisis. I mean, we should have a crisis. I mean, but we should have had one for a long time. But I mean, if we have a big crisis, maybe it's because of geopolitical, or maybe it's simply because, you know, we have a 2008 crisis because of all the debt. Then gold will soar. We'll have a shortage, and we'll have the cartel will be overrun. And at that point, silver too will do very well. But aside from that, I think that they're just going to disband this cartel from disinterest. I think at some point they're going to wake up and go, why are we holding gold down? No one even cares anymore.
Yeah.
And we can't even get the price to go down anymore because we don't have any supply to keep the price down with, yeah. Because the mining industry is so destroyed and because, oh yeah, all the money printing. So just let it go up. Who cares if it goes to 2000? No one's even paying attention. That's what I think is going to happen. So people in gold are going to actually be able to get to enjoy their gains, even if they're not going to be the kind of gains like, you know, 10,000, 20,000 that we once thought. If we have hyperinflation, you bet we'll get there and beyond. But I just don't. I see in the coming world, the market share is going to be moving more toward the digital side. That's just how I view it. That's why I have, you know, much lower percentage of my position in gold right now and no silver.
So you've been personally conflicted about this, Andy, for a year and a half, because here you are, you're marketing director for a very noteworthy bullion dealer, and yet your heart is in cryptocurrencies. How are you feeling when all this is going on? Because I know you well, and I know you're an extremely loyal person, and yet you're being torn apart inside, aren't you?
Well, not now.
Now I'm completely free.
But I, you know, it was getting difficult at the end, mostly because the precious metal business was very bad.
Right.
Really, really bad. And I would say that right now, the biggest issue that I have with silver, it's because I just don't think it makes sense monetarily anymore. Between Bitcoin and gold, I just can't see why people would want to buy these thousands of pounds of silver and hope that the gold-silver ratio goes down. I just don't see that anymore. But aside from that, the liquidity in this industry is going to get small. Is going to get worse. I mean, it's just that simple. People are not buying in the Western world. Someone's buying, right? It's obviously the Chinese government is buying. They're printing money and buying gold, and I'm sure the Indians people have got a nice healthy black market going on, but around here they're not, and the precious metal bullion industry is suffering, and I mean really suffering. And I haven't been in it now for 2 or 3 months, but I see the U.S. Mint numbers are worse than ever, and it was bad. I mean, look, you had. It's not a coincidence that all these companies, starting with Tolving and then Northwest, Northwest Territorial Mint. There was like a J, was it JW? Yeah. Maybe not JW. There's the one in Florida,
right?
With the scams, and the scams are basically because there's not enough demand. They were Ponzi schemes, and they died like Madoff because the demand died. And so I'm not saying the whole industry is like that. I'm just saying that demand is dying, and they were the first symptoms of that. So what I'm trying to say is that the liquidity in the precious metal arena is weakening. I could see it already. I mean, I've been selling gold. I see the premiums are starting to to weaken. And I'm sure they're weakening in silver because a lot of people are selling physical silver and a lot of them are doing it to buy Bitcoin. And it's not going to change. And Bitcoin's not going to crash like Peter Schiff says. It's going to keep going up. Or at the least, it's going to stay at an elevated level that drives an interest. And more people are going to do what I did and say, why do I have, you know, I when I wrote that article, the small packages thing, I said $250,000 of silver weighs 1,000 pounds. $250,000 of gold weighs 13 pounds. And then, of course, Bitcoin, you can store, you don't even need a device. You could store $1 billion of Bitcoin in your head. Yeah. And, you know, and I'm telling you, the process of selling silver, I mean, you know, I'm giving a public service announcement here. People have a lot of silver because they're so excited that it's going to go up one day. But think about it. You have to sell it at some point, right? Or you have to pass it on to your younger generations who, by the way, have no interest in owning silver at all. The first thing they're going to want to do is sell it. And what they're going to find out is, oh my God, it is so hard to sell silver. It is so heavy. It is so illiquid. The bid-ask spreads are really high. The transportation costs, I mean, the insurance costs, it is a difficult thing to do. And guess what? You can just buy Bitcoin and store it in your head and not deal with any of these things. So I'm telling you, people, the liquidity in the industry is very thin, and it may get a lot thinner unless you have a crisis. And if you have a crisis, the government may shut down the dealers. So I'm saying, just think ahead at what the world, where the world is going when you have thousands of pounds of silver. That's all.
Hey, well, I think you started an important dialogue on this topic. And you always need to be re-examining your core beliefs because, like you said, things change. You don't know what's going to be. The future is always uncertain. My personal belief is it ain't over till it's over. And
Yogi Berra, too.
You know?
It's, Yogi Berra, too. He believed that.
Yeah. And he was right, you know?
Well, look, Carrie,
the fat lady,
of course, you are completely right in that there's so many directions the world could take. Right. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about the move toward intangible, that's not turning around. We are going digital. We are going digital in the way we do our business and the way we live our lives and the way we store our value.
Oh, yeah.
That is not changing. But it doesn't mean there's no guarantee that, yes, Bitcoin will go to this specific Bitcoin will go to $1 million. Now, just like I said, that's what will happen. I mean, there's no way of knowing that any given. But the trends are there. And when I talk about these trends of like people not wanting to own thousands of pounds of silver, that's a thing of the past. And anyone who's going to sit there and hold all that silver, just, you know, thinking that we're going to go backward, we're not going to go backward. And it's just not going to happen. So if you're waiting for the gold silver ratio, I mean, look, let's face it. You know, I talk forever about how the gold silver ratio should go down. And even before Bitcoin became a thing, it had every opportunity to do so. Yes, I know there's a cartel there, but yes, there is a physical market. You could say the cartel is what kept the silver gold silver ratio from going down, right? But at the same time, it had every opportunity to do it. We had shortages. We had the 2008 crisis. We had 2011 when it went to $50. I mean, we had all these things that happened. And still, it couldn't get off the $75, 75-to-1 ratio. People, do you know how long it's been roughly 75-to-1? It goes back to like when the 1970s. Yeah, I mean, maybe it was 60-to-1, 70-to-1, 80-to-1. But it's never been this. It's never been where we want it to go in any kind of recent memory. So to believe that it's just going to happen now, it's not going to happen. I'm telling you, the gold silver ratio. I mean, yeah, if you have a monster crisis of epic proportions, is it possible? Yeah, it'll be a pretty scary world. You may not even be able to sell it. And I assure you, you're not going to be able to barter with it. Those days are over with the crypto thing around. But it's just not going to happen. So people, if you think it's going to go to 15-to-1, the world's changed. Crypto has changed it. It's not going to 15-to-1. You should think long and hard. And if you do want to own precious metals, then own gold. It is just as undervalued as silver has ever been. And it's a lot easier to manage. And you know what? Some of the younger people may actually think of it in a nostalgic way as like this historic store value, which, you know what? It's not too difficult to store. It is, you know, $1,300 an ounce as opposed to silver, which is $17 an ounce. So just saying, that's all. In fact, toward the end of my, earlier this year, I already had started to do that before I said, I don't want to own silver. I said, okay, I'll own it, but I think I'd rather own gold for that reason. Gold is by far it's not only the superior asset, but it's the one that has the better chance of maintaining value in a monetary fashion over time. You can say I'm wrong. I think that we're moving forward in the world, and silver is last in line, so, and gold is way above it on the totem pole.
Well, time will tell, Andy, and yes. Hey, we'll look forward to you coming back on at some point in the future. And as always, good luck, and let's stay in touch.
Absolutely, and I'd be happy to do anything that, you know, we could figure out that would be productive for you and I personally, of course, and as related to Financial Survival Network. And thanks for everyone for listening. And again, come and listen to me. I do all kinds of stuff. I'm actually on the World Crypto Network right now. I mean, I am one of the personalities. I do weekly shows there. And of course, CryptoGoldCentral.com. It's my daily. I write all day long. Get a free 7-day trial. You'll love it. It's only $225 if you pay for it for the entire year, or email me at ahoffman@CryptoGoldCentral.com.
Hey, and email us with any questions, comments, kl@CarrieLutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, and the Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Andy, hopefully we'll talk to you soon. Good luck, my friend.
Thanks so much.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.